to Voices of Vision with your host, Jane Asher. Jane is inspired daily by discovering the deepest passions in others. Each week, she will be digging deep to find what excites, motivates, and empowers individuals to explore new horizons, achieve their greatest dreams, and live up to their full potential. The time is now for Voices of Vision.
Welcome to the show. It's a special edition of Voices of Vision. It's Fun with Dick and Jane, and we are going to welcome a very special guest today. I mean, radio is constantly changing, and this gentleman that decided to join us today has kind of been right in the mix of things for a long time. And when I posted that we were going to have this man on the show, all of my radio friends out here in San Diego started freaking out and saying, "Oh my God, he's a living legend." So, of course, here I am today with Fred Jacobs from Jacobs Media and the fabulous Dick Kernan. Welcome, gentlemen.
Gee, I thought that it was his show.
No, it's Dick, we're all relying on you to get through this. Thank you, Jane. I appreciate that introduction. That was kind.
Well, let me even take it another step farther. There are a lot of people in the same line of work that Fred is in, and they are all at least 20 miles behind he and his brother Paul. They are so far ahead of everybody else in the radio business that it's kind of embarrassing. You know, you've seen this from the bottom up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we worked together for a hot minute at WRIF back in the 10th century.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of the post-Civil War era of
Yeah, right? Well, is that what that was?
Yeah. No, but it was a long time ago, and radio was a very different business in the 60s and 70s, right? I mean, our friend Tom Bender, and Tom was a program director that bridged Dick and myself. Tom refers to radio when we originally got into it as being an up-escalator business. I love that description, but it's absolutely true. I mean, the radio business was flush, and there was a lot of money to be made, and even though the whole FM thing was sort of feeling its way along, there was a ton of money to be made in radio, and it was pretty easy money in retrospect. So,
and it's changed so much. I mean, here we are in 2018, and it's just absolutely changed. But don't you feel it's still a really relevant way to connect with people?
Let me hit you with a story here, okay?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I was the assistant program director of WXYZ AM and had been that for a while. And when the commission said, "Hey, you either got to start doing something different on your FM or send the license back," they looked around Broadcast House and they said, "Oh, let's have Kernan be the program director." And so for about 3 years, from about 1969 through 1972, I would walk around Broadcast House with people that had known me forever and say, pat me on the back and say, "Hey, Dick, how's that F thing going for you?"
Well, you know what, Dick? I actually remember. So I was at Broadcast House a few years later than you. And so in Broadcast House was Riff. But Riff was out in the back in
not exactly a house.
No, it was like a tiny little shack with three trailers butted onto it. And then there was a cafeteria. And then there was Broadcast House. And that's where Channel 7 and WXYZ Radio were. And I remember the day, Dick, we were meeting in the cafeteria for lunch. And that was the only time you got to see guys like Dick Purton and Bill Bonds.
Yeah, the AM guys.
Right, all those legends, right? But I remember the day where FM radio passed AM radio in listenership in Detroit. Yep, it was a rating book. I would say it was probably 78 or 9.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a palpable difference in the way in the way we carried ourselves, and you could see that the AM guys were kind of a little shell-shocked. I mean, it was one of those things where you could see it coming, but the day that it actually happened was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
This is significant, right?
And yeah, because they, like I say, they used to pat me on the back and say, how's that F thing coming up?
Yeah, and meanwhile, now AM radio is sort of on the brink, right?
I just hear that there are two legendary AM stations that sort of are disappearing?
KQV in Pittsburgh, is one of them. And so if that isn't a message, I mean, it's tough to be in AM radio at this point. And even gnarly little things like BMW and Tesla and their electric cars are not including AM radio anymore as standard equipment, allegedly because they can't seem to figure out a way to engineer the electrification of the car to prevent static and whatnot from AM. Now, as you think about Elon Musk, right? I mean, here's a guy who can send stuff to the moon, right? Yeah. And somehow he hasn't figured out the technology to make AM radio listenable in electric cars?
That's crazy.
Someone's got to explain this to me. So,
exactly.
Yeah, you're right, Jane. You know, it's a different time, and yet the fundamentals of great radio are the same when Dick was shuffling around Broadcast House. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it's being entertaining, it's being informative, it's being in the moment, it's being close to your community.
Well, and we get to talk to a lot of people. In, you know, one of the places that I see radio being radio, the way that I grew up with it, are in medium and small markets. You know, my favorite example is a station in, you ready? Howell, Michigan. Now, even people who live here go, huh? Howell, Michigan is about a little less than an hour outside of Detroit, and the radio station is as state-of-the-art as any station I have ever been in. And the county it's in is one of the wealthiest counties in Michigan. So there are a lot of very wealthy people out there. And this station just does a great job and makes a lot of money. And I see examples all over the place of situations like that.
Well, small market radio, I think, is really one of the untold stories of what's happening in radio. And you've been close to it all these years because you're trying to help all these kids find jobs. Yep. And it's easier to find a job in Howell or Sault Ste. Marie.
Not anymore.
Well, no, I know. That's another whole conversation. But yeah, I do a lot of speaking at State Broadcaster Association events.
Indeed you do.
And that's where you really mix it up with the small market folks. And it's great. You know what? Fundamentally, in some ways, they're doing more down-to-earth, eye-to-eye contact sort of radio than people in the bigs.
And actual live human beings on the air?
Absolutely.
What a concept, huh?
Right. I mean, you know, you look at Julie up there at WLEN. I mean, it's like, you know, this is a radio station that's won like 75 Crystal Awards or whatever, and it's all because of that local service thing. So it still matters.
It really matters.
Yeah. I think that's what, you know, for me anyway, I think that's what radio, when it started to go a little bit south, is when it got so generic. And you could drive across the country and hear the same songs and the same people. And it just didn't have that local feel. And now here we are. I think we're going back to that. I mean, I hear it here locally in San Diego. It's really about super serving the person that is listening and giving them the local vibe.
Well, and you worked those stations.
Absolutely.
For a very long time. And the other thing, Fred, that I wanted to deal with is radio now has all kinds of competition. I mean, there are, you know, what we're doing.
Exactly.
You know, we're not on the radio.
Right. But we are doing audio.
But we're doing audio.
Right.
And there are a whole bunch of other things that what I found. I'll give you my favorite example is there's a religious station here in town that is just an amazing station. They have an enormously loyal audience. They have enormously loyal advertisers, and they are doing just fine, thanks, with this very small group of people that listen to Christian radio from the time they get up until the time they go to bed at night.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jane touched on that a few moments ago. I mean, that ability to be able to super serve an audience. And look, on the other side of this are global services like Pandora, Spotify, satellite radio. And look, they obviously provide very valuable functions. And there's a lot of people plunking down a lot of money in order to get those services. But the one thing that radio always has done and hopefully will continue to do is SuperServe those communities and, yeah. and even tribes. That's really the word yeah. now, right?
It, doesn't, it could be communities and it could be groups, small groups of people.
That's correct. Right. I mean, you even look right. at some of the HD radio experiments that have happened, the HD2s, where it's the Polish community or the Russian community. Yep. I mean, that whole ethnicity thing is also sort of part of the whole radio narrative, too. So it's crazy times.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. It's ahead, a beautiful Dan. Business, though, and I, you know, I still have so many friends that are really making a living at it. And, you know, it kind of goes back to how do you want to, mm-hmm. you know, what do you want to project on your on this planet? What do you want to do? And being in radio and being able to communicate and, you know, be with the listeners and shake hands and just have a great time, it sure beats shoveling, you know what? So it's still a great business. I want to talk a little bit about like advice and what kind of advice, because both of you have so many years and so much knowledge and wisdom about radio and about this industry. What do you tell that young budding broadcaster? I'm going to start with you, Fred, and then Dick, you're going to be up next.
So Dick and I come at this actually from a fairly similar posture. I taught introductory radio at Michigan State for a couple of years. So I actually had that academic experience where there were a lot of people who thought they wanted to go into radio, but when push came to shove, it really kind of came down to a small group that was really motivated mm-hmm. and energized yep. enough. And as cliche as it sounds, I mean, clearly the P factor, passion, is a big part mm-hmm. of it. I mean, and it's always been that way. I mean, you have to really want to do this yep. in a big way. The other lesson I learned from Seth Godin, the marketing guy, and he writes in the book, Linchpin, that If you really want to succeed in any kind of work environment, be that person who just does everything, who yep. never says no, yep. who volunteers absolutely. For every assignment. And when push comes to shove, you can't get rid of people like this. And in fact, yep. you want to promote them.
Yep.
So that's not going to be for everybody. Some people really do want to have a life outside of the radio station. But if you're the kind of person that really wants this in a bad way, I don't think there's any advice better than go all out and make it happen.
Well, I think that, you know, I would recommend this to anybody that wants to do anything. Is there an awful lot of things that you can theoretically do? But my advice to anyone who lets me give it is do what you love to do. Because mm-hmm. as you point out, if you're there every day, if you can't get enough, you're the most logical person, first of all, to get promoted, not get fired, and everything. You know, the Howell station is a perfect example. The Howell station was just sold, okay? They have let no one go. Everybody there has been there for, and there are several other examples, but it really does. It really, that old thing about if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. Well, you're sitting here staring at Exhibit A.
Yep. Well, mm-hmm. and Exhibit B.
and Exhibit C.
Exactly right. I mean, but that's true. I mean, we all come at this from different angles, but that is the one thing that we yeah. all share. And that is the passion for the business. I mean, yep. I don't think any of us got into radio in order to make a killing. We were all told at the outset, don't go into radio if you want to make a lot of money. But a lot of money can be made in radio.
Yeah.
It's just that if you go in for that reason, chances are you're not going to make it or be happy. I think you have to go in with love and passion first.
Yeah.
And then absolutely. If the money happens and New York happens or whatever it is you want,
yeah.
it's all there for you.
Jane, your Exhibit A.
No,
yep.
Yeah, hey, you know what? No wiser words right there, because really, we're on this planet for a minute or two, right?
Yep.
And don't you want to wake up every morning and think to myself, I get to go do
to
this.
Work.
Yep.
You
yep.
know? And yep. that's what it's so invigorating to me about this industry is that I'm never giving up on it, because it has been so much fun for me, and I have met extraordinary people, and I continue to meet really cool people, especially from, you know, here I've got this little show, but oh my gosh, I can interview anybody I want, and I can put it over these fabulous airwaves, and they're picked up, and it's rebroadcast, and it's just, it's very powerful.
Yep.
It's a powerful, powerful industry.
Well, I don't see radio going away.
No.
I just think that, these huge companies that own hundreds of stations have, and they're sort of staggering their way to this. You got to start serving the community again. You got to start being meaningful to the community. And where you see examples of that, you see success.
Well, and there's no shortcut for that, I think, which is part
Thank
of
you.
The problem in that when you own hundreds of stations, you are immediately thinking of scale. I mean, that's the word that keeps coming up.
We're going to hire 9 morning guys.
Well, exactly. And we've achieved scale, and now we can operate less expensively and still put out a pretty good product. And that's true, but you can't serve one community at a time when you're going about it that way. And ultimately, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, I mean, the station van, right? I mean, this is your opportunity to be local and to be present and to be there so you know that it snowed in Detroit or San Diego has got, you know, Santa Ana winds coming in. I mean, all that stuff is part of the fabric of living somewhere.
Right.
And radio, when it's really on its best, I think holds up the mirror to the community and reflects that vibe back.
Absolutely. And I, you know, you'll have to pardon me here to use as an example a Detroit station, a couple of Detroit stations that do that very, very well. WRIF and WMX.
Yeah.
CSX.
Oh, there we go.
Hello.
All right. Thank you.
These are stations that are on the street all the time.
Yep.
They're at every event. They have banners and flags and everything else going on. And they do very, very well. And I think that it's kind of an example that can be repeated any place where the ownership is willing to allow it to happen.
Yeah, it takes a tremendous commitment, though. And the other part, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this lately, too. I think another formula, if you will, I hate that word, you know, like best practices, but it does strike me that some of the most successful radio stations over time, not the ones that just pop a great book and then go, you know, the Roman candle thing, right? But the ones that are perennial winners tend to have staffs that have been together
for a long time.
Yep. You know, there's that teamwork, there's that cohesion. Right. You know who's next to you there in the foxhole, and you can trust them. I mean, all that stuff really matters. Wow. And when you see companies come in and blow everybody out, I mean, you know, your example with the Howell thing, I mean, they were obviously smart enough as a new owner to come in and go, you know what?
Yeah.
We'd be morons to break up the chemistry that this radio station has.
Doing so well for so long.
Exactly.
And what are we, nuts? And when you are operating at that scale, you can pull that off.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dick.
No, go ahead.
Well, you know what I keep thinking about, too, with radio is the listener. I mean, isn't that who we're here for? I mean, you know, and that's why I think the stations that are successful, that keep their teams together, they really talk to those people, and they're out on the streets, and because there's a love affair. You know, there are people that just absolutely, I mean, I have listeners still in my life that have become friends, that send me birthday gifts, that know that my dad is going to be 91 here in February. I mean, it's almost astonishing the connection that you get when you're on the radio with those people that are your fans, and they love you.
Yeah.
So
they hopefully patronize your advertisers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I don't like it. You know, in radio, there's a term that people use that are very derogatory toward your best listeners, your P1s.
Here
you know?
It comes. Yeah.
Whenever I would hear a bad term, I'm like, wow, really? That's how you're going to talk about your customer that is really putting food on your table?
So you're thinking contest pigs.
Yes. I can't stand that.
But
yeah,
you know what, though, Jane? I think, look, we're all talking about the same thing here. But one of the pieces that I find lacking in training, and in fact, even in my own education in radio, was exactly what you're talking about, serving the customer. The listener always comes first. And you know, how many ear studios have you been in where the jocks are not answering the phones, or they have busied them out, or people are responding to things on Facebook, and the person in the studio is too busy to like their comments and maybe even comment back? And all that stuff matters. And I impress very hard with our clients, in our blog, in speeches that I give, all the things you were just talking about, because fundamentally we have the opportunity to touch people right where they live if we're going to work hard enough and dedicate ourselves to do that. Yeah. Not everybody sees it that way.
Right. Let's talk about the social side of things. I mean, now it used to be where we would just talk to our listeners over the phone, but now we have multiple ways. You know, we can tweet to them, we can Facebook with them. You know, there's all kinds of great ways to connect.
Yeah, and what's interesting, so we do this tech survey every year, which is just an expansive survey of what people are doing when they're not listening to the radio. And one of the things we ask them to think about are all the ways that they interface with their favorite radio station. And so we give them a whole list of things, and it could be Facebook and could be the website and all this. And a couple of things on the list are, of course, calling the studio lines and seeing the radio station at events around town. And now studio lines and events around town are near the bottom of the heap of the way that people interface with radio. It really is mostly social media and that kind of thing. And that's not to say that the studio lines and how you conduct yourself at an event aren't important, because they are. But it does tell you that a fundamental shift is underway, and it's not us just broadcasting to them. They're broadcasting back to us with their their feedback, their comments, all that stuff. And radio stations that are really sharp and smart are watching that stuff all the time and feeding back.
Yeah, I'm always surprised at the number of our grads who go to work at radio stations, and their primary job is to interface with the people that call in and Facebook and do all of that stuff.
Well, that's the cool thing. I mean, Jane, I think, touched on that early on. There are different ways to make a living in the radio business today than there used to be.
Yeah.
And if you can edit video, I mean, who would have thunk, right? I mean, radio, theater of the mind, paint pictures with your words. And yet, and here we are doing video, and it's important that we do video podcasts.
Podcasts are the greatest thing that ever happened.
Exactly. And yet, how many commercial radio stations in particular are struggling to kind of get their heads around podcasting because they don't know what we should do exactly?
Well, and the great thing about podcasts, you're not up against the time. I mean, if you don't have much to say, then you have a short podcast. If you got a lot to say, you got a long one.
Here's the problem, Dick. It's like that teacher back in school who said, "I want you to write a paper about whatever you want." And that was always the hardest thing to do. It was much easier if they said, "We want you to write a paper about 19th century revolutionary America with a particular twist on political freedom."
No problem.
Exactly. You knew exactly what to do. But when somebody says, "Just go ahead and make a podcast and see what's in your head there," and people just like stare at the wall and go, "I don't know where to begin."
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
No, that's really true. I never thought about
that. Right. We know how to make audio, and we know how to promote it, and we know how to even sell it. But when it comes to podcasting, there clearly is a disconnect between radio people and podcasts.
Well, there is a radio station which will remain nameless that has a podcast every they tape the entire show. They go into a studio and edit it down to what makes sense. And the nice thing about podcasts, whatever makes sense. And we advertise on that, and we get just an awful lot of response from it.
Oh, yeah, because podcast listeners are actually more loyal. There's a ton of research that has reiterated exactly what you're saying.
You know, I am, this is amazing. We could probably talk for the next 3 hours, but. I'm telling you, we're almost coming to a close here, and there's something really important that I'd love to do today. Fred, is there something about Dick or something that you noticed, you know, long ago when you first became friends that you want to share with us? Because I'd love to have a Fred Jacobs, Dick Kernan story.
I'm getting a blank stare here.
No, I actually have a whole dictionary worth of stuff. I mean, but I don't want to talk about Dick's aversion to air travel. That would probably not be very entertaining.
No.
You know, the thing about Dick, Jane, is that I think if there is one person in this market and in this state who really symbolizes and promotes radio, but particularly in that real... on the ground, fundamental way, trying to connect radio stations with young broadcasters. I mean, I just don't know that there's been a more important service to radio over the years than that. And Dick's the guy. I mean, he's the guy with the contacts. He's the guy with the connections. He knows what broadcasters want. He knows what students' capabilities are. I mean, Dick, when I worked at RIFF, would call me all the time and go, "Hey, I've got a diamond in the rough person here. You got to meet him. This person's going to be a big star." I mean, what a great position to be in. And Dick has only done that for, how long has it been, Dick?
45 and a half years.
Wow. I mean, think about that. I mean, it really is amazing. So, I mean, I could tell you the funny, embarrassing Kernan stories, but I think it's oh, that's another half hour. But yeah. But I think
next week maybe.
Yeah, maybe if you invite me back, I'll embarrass him. But no, I think he has provided such an amazing service to this state and this industry, and it needs to be said.
Well, thank you.
I love that. And, you know, that is what it all comes down to, is Dick has had a love affair and a passion for our industry for so long, and he's helped so many of us. And for me to actually have him as a friend, I mean, it is such an honor, Dick. I absolutely adore you. I'm serious. It is just such an honor. And Fred, I can't thank you enough. I know you're a busy man, and you were
really?
Speaking earlier. Yeah, you were talking earlier about, you know, if radio stations are looking for that special thing, I would get a hold of you, Fred Jacobs Media, and or it's Jacobs Media, but
yeah,
you're Fred.
That's close enough.
And,
yep.
Yeah, and you know, really, I mean, you guys are on the pulse, and I've seen what you've done, and you have mad respect across the country in our industry.
Everybody else that does what Fred and Paul do are still in the last century.
There you go.
I appreciate that, and it was really an honor to be here. It's fun to sit across from Dick and talk about him.
I love it.
Right.
I'll tell you what, and I would love to have you back. I mean, if you ever have a spare half hour and you want to come back on the show with Dick and I, it would be my honor.
Anytime.
And
can you do this on an airplane?
Yes, or from the Delta Sky Club.
Yeah, there
yes.
you go.
Yeah,
there
that's,
you go.
That's probably the best
bit. Thank you so much. It's a special edition of Voices of Vision, Fun with Dick and Jane, with our very special guest, Fred Jacobs from Jacobs Media. Thank you so much. And just remember, life is all about what you love. And just go do it, whether it's radio or whether it's shoveling you know what. At least go all in and have a good time. Thanks for tuning in today.
Inspired? Motivated? We hope so. Join Jane next week as she connects with another motivated soul, driven to live their life's purpose, on Voices of Vision, here on Empower Radio.